Please join me in a prayer for understanding. God of wisdom, by your Spirit may your word be proclaimed, that we may know good news in our hearts and minds, and bear witness to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in word and deed. Quiet in us any voice but your own, that we might hear your word to us today. Amen. Today's Hebrew scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 6 through 12. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in.
Sometime in my past iteration of being a pastor and preacher in Presbyterian churches, I remembered that I did a very brief Google search trying to find out who really kind of said this that I'm going to share with you in just a moment. And as I remember the search results, it was either the renowned Swiss theologian Karl Barth, or Harry Emerson Fosdick, for whom John D. Rockefeller built the Riverside Church in New York City. And whether it was one or the other, or many more before or after them, this is what they said. It's the responsibility of the preacher to walk into the pulpit with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And whether I am standing on the shoulder of giants or in their shadows, that seems like a place for us to begin, with the newspaper in one hand. And I'm sure you know these headlines as well, if not better than I do. The government shutdown has entered its 40th day. SNAP benefits remain uncertain. Food insecurity increases for more than 22 million of our fellow citizens. Local food banks are going into triage mode in an effort to provide necessary food for families. And during the government shutdown, 670,000 federal employees have been furloughed, while roughly 730,000 continue to work without pay. Some of them are sitting with you this morning. Air travel is curtailed at 40 major airports across the country as we approach the Thanksgiving weekend, which traditionally has been the busiest travel weekend of the year. And U.S. military aircraft are flying missions out of El Salvador in an extraordinary troop buildup in the Caribbean, while President Trump seems to be considering military action against both Venezuela and Nigeria. This past Thursday, ICE agents in Chicago arrested and dragged a preschool teacher out of her classroom in front of the students who were there already there, despite the fact that she had the proper documentation both to be in this country and to do the work that she was doing. ICE has detained more than 60,000 people so far this year. And on Wednesday in Indiana, a house cleaner and mother of four was shot and killed when she accidentally went to the wrong address. Gun violence is such a common occurrence in our country that it never makes the headlines anymore. But according to the mass shooting tracker, there have been more than 432 incidents of mass shooting in our country this year, and more than 12,000 people killed by gun violence. And all this does not even touch the continuing devastation and desperation in Gaza, and the horrific fighting in the Sudan and Ukraine, and the consequences of closing USAID and curtailing foreign aid. If you're like me, on most days it feels too much to bear. So much, in fact, that I know some friends who have decided no longer to pay attention to the news to kind of be able to maintain their mental health. The newspaper, and for those of you that don't know, this is a newspaper. The newspaper in one hand. Then in the face of all of that, there is this. From Christian scripture, Matthew's gospel, Jesus speaking. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. So I wonder, on this Sunday morning, in this sacred space, can you believe it? You, me, just as you are, just as I am, frail and forceful as we all are or can be, strong and scared, falling down and having gotten back up, God's light in and for and to the world, so simple and yet so hard at the very same time. But believing as I do that the Bible is not just about then, but also about now, and not just about them, but also about you and me, then even with all of this being true, maybe this also is true. When you are kind to one another, you are the light of the world. When you stand up for what you know to be right, even when it feels hard, you are the light of the world. When you feed someone who is hungry, you are the light of the world. When you look at and see and recognize the humanity in the stranger, you are the light of the world. When you step beyond your own comfort and your own well-being for the sake of another, you are the light of the world. And so I was not going to use this phrase until Rebecca used it when we were working on the Rebuilding Together project a couple of weeks ago, but she referred to Presbyterians as God's frozen chosen. It fits in most congregations, not always true here, but I invite you for at least a moment to set aside being respected and respectful, and if you feel so moved, add your voice to mine. When you do your best to walk humbly with God, you are the light of the world. When you treat another the way you would like to be treated, you are the light of the world. When you treat another the way they would like to be treated, you are the light of the world. When you extend hospitality, you are the light of the world. When you build a longer table rather than a higher wall, you are the light of the world. When you refuse to allow the sun to set on your anger over the injustice you see, you are the light of the world. When you look for and see God in your own hands and heart and face, you are the light of the world. When your words heal, you are the light of the world. When liberty and justice for all becomes more than just words, and instead the way you live, you are the light of the world. When all means all, you are the light of the world. When your vision for tomorrow matches the dream of God, you are the light of the world. When that vision for tomorrow drives your actions today, you are the light of the world. When you create a space for those who have been silenced in order for them to find their own voice. Amen. When you recognize you are wrong and do your best to learn, you are the light of the world. When you sow seeds of hope, when you build up rather than tear down, when you seek justice and resist evil, when you reach out your hand, when love wins, you are the light of the world. All of that is true, but let's be honest. Often reaching for the bushel basket is a lot easier than reaching for the lampstand. After all, who really wants to risk standing up or speaking out? Who really wants to risk the consequences of turning over the tables which demean or demonize as another? Who really wants to weather the pushback that you know will come? The what ifs are legion. What if no one stands there with you? What if you're the only one who dares to speak out? What if you lose your friend? What if you risk your job? What if you risk your place? What if you risk your life? What if you're the only one? Being the light, a light, is hard. It requires intentionality. It requires discipline. It requires taking a stand. It requires speaking up. It is rarely simple. Yet for me, at least in these days in which we find ourselves, it feels both harder and more important than ever. So back to where I began, with these words of Jesus. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. So let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. And I wonder, do you believe it? That you, me, us together are the light of the world, God's light and love and hope and courage for each other and for all of those out there, especially those who live or hide in the shadows? Do you believe it? Do you believe it enough to live it? Amen.